Tonight I'll be reading from Exodus chapter 14, 13 through 16. Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground."
Good evening. It's been a different year, hasn't it?
Everybody's sitting there, yes. It's been crazy. Just think about this. A little over 8 months ago, we were all looking forward to and planning out 2020. A lot of us were probably sitting in our houses thinking of the things that we wanted to do, the things that we wanted to see, and the things we hoped to accomplish for the year. And then we hit 2020, and we were excited, but then things started happening. If you think about everything that's happened so far, you look at it and see it started out with impeachment trials. Then we had the death of Kobe Bryant. Then you had the Harvey Weinstein trials. And that's all before March. And then March comes and we have some really bad storms. We have devastating tornadoes that go through the state. And not just here, but several other places as well. But we had these utter destruction that went through, where we've seen the power of God, but we also seen people come together. We've seen communities unite. We've seen help. And we wondered, can we get through this? And we see the power of God that we can get through this, and we can become stronger than we ever were. Then we had, all of a sudden, we hear about the coronavirus. And we were like, oh, really? What's this? And then, not to mention, to go along with that, we had toilet paper shortages, Clorox shortages, paper towel shortages, just about everything you can imagine. You couldn't find it anymore. It was crazy. And then you had quarantine come up. And you're sitting there, now I've got to be stuck at home. But not only along with that, you had schools close and parents became teachers. And some of us parents found out we were not very good teachers. We might be better principals. So we send our students to the principal's office only to find out we're the principals as well. And I really wanted to expel some kids. Mom and Dad called me several times because I took a couple days off every week to kind of help go through the lessons with the kids. And I'll never forget, one day Mom called me. She said, "How is teaching going?" I said, "Well, I don't know if the kids like it. I think they like it better when I'm the lunch lady." And she said, "Oh, what's the lunch lady cooking today?" But we get through all of that. Then you have rioting in the streets. You have pandemonium. You still have COVID-19. Then you find out about murder hornets. And remember, this is only June by now. What else can we go through? And we're sitting there just paranoid of what's next. And again, we still deal with coronavirus. And that brings us to today, 8 months later. And we're, a lot of people, if you've seen the post, we're ready for 2020 to be over with. I seen Chastity Ford had wrote, "When we hit 2021, we don't speak of 2020 ever again." But we laugh about some of these things, but it's serious stuff. Sometimes we get swept up and what is going on around us. So many times we forget to live life because life is going on all around us and we can't look through the pain. We can't look through the mess to see the goodness that comes out of it. We look through at the destruction, the devastation, all the hard times, the trials that we're going through, and we can't see the good. And that's hard. So many times we give the children of Israel grief, don't we? We look at everything they had going for them, and we still give them grief. You see, the children of Israel are much like we are today. They could see the power of God through different things, just like we can see the power of God today. But sometimes through the tragedies of life, through all that's going on around us, we can't focus on the power of God. And we give the children of Israel grief over that. But think about the children of Israel for just a few minutes. We're going to look at just a few passages that I think will show us that even today we're similar to the children of Israel. You see, the children of Israel had it pretty easy. God had chose them. He had blessed them. He even said, starting in Genesis chapter 12, in verse 1, that He chose them to be blessed. It says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country. Get away from your father's house and to go to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." You see, we read that and sometimes we forget that God chose us and God blesses us. Because of the trials of life, we forget this. And the children of Israel forgot it as well. You see, as we look at the life of Abram, he goes on to dwell in the land of Canaan. And we know that that's the promised land that God has promised the children of Israel. And along the way, they had to leave. And they go down to Egypt. And they get stuck as slaves in the land of Egypt. But as God has chosen these people to go to a land that He is going to show them, He blessed them. And He sent Moses. He said, "Go and get my people and take them to a land that I will show you. Go and take them to the promised land." Now we know the story of Moses, that he is reluctant, that he is scared, that he is afraid of what might happen. But the children of Israel, when he gets there, they encounter some of the same difficulties. They had to go through 10 plagues. Do you remember those 10 plagues? They go through all this stuff that God has the power over. The very first thing is water turned to blood. And it says, and it stunk. And the fish died. And you can only imagine, anybody ever smelled dead fish? It don't smell too good, does it? So the whole land smelled of decay. But that's the very first plague. They see the power of God, that He can turn water into blood. But also the magicians do it too. So Pharaoh hardens his heart. Then he calls upon frogs, and then lice, and then flies. And it just seems like it keeps getting worse and worse, kind of like 2020, doesn't it? But it goes on to the disease of the livestock, to boils everywhere, to deadly hail, to locusts, eventually to darkness over all the land except that of the Israelites. And then the very last thing is death of the firstborn. You see, they had it pretty rough there for a while, just like we did today. You see, they finally, after the death of the firstborn, you see, it says in chapter 13, verse 17, "Then it came to pass, when Pharaoh let the people go, that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt." God chose these people, and He blesses His people. And He says, "I am going to make you great." And so many times we let life sink in and we don't focus and we forget to focus on God. And God says, "I love you. I chose you. And this is what I need you to do. I need you to follow me. And he goes on and says, so God led the people around by the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had placed the children of Israel under a solemn oath, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry my bones from here with you. So they took their journey from Succoth and camped in Etham at the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. And he did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. God chose them and said, I am going to go before you. As daytime approaches, you will see a pillar of smoke, a pillar of cloud. I will be right there with you. I will give you something to focus on. And even at night when it's dark and you get afraid, I'm going to be a pillar of fire. I'm going to be a light to you. You see, they had everything going for them. And they were leaving, and you can probably imagine how they felt. Have you ever been somewhere and then you're finally getting to go home? You're relieved. Have you ever been sick? Maybe you've been in a hospital and you're tired of being in a hospital. I remember as I had open heart surgery, I was there for 3 days. You know, most people are there a little bit longer. But they told me, they said, as soon as you can have a bowel movement, you can go home. I never remember hearing more clapping over somebody that used the bathroom than my parents clapping so we could go home. And I told them, I said, I want to walk out of here. They said, I'm sorry, sir, we got to wheel you out. So I reluctantly sat in a wheelchair as they pushed me through Vanderbilt. And we got to the door and I said, stop for just a minute. And I got up and walked out under my own 2 feet. And they said, sir, we got to push you to the car. I said, I just want to walk out. And they reluctantly let me. But it feels good to know that you're going home. And that's what the children of Israel are probably feeling. They have went through all these plagues, finally to be released by Pharaoh to go to a land that God was going to give them, to their inheritance, to their new home. And they're relieved. But God knows if they go this one way, there's going to be war and they're going to be afraid. So he takes them a different way, but through the hardness of Pharaoh's heart, he chases after them. He goes on to say that, now it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants were turned against the people. And they said, why have you done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? So he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. Also he took 600 choice chariots and all the chariots of Egypt with the captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with boldness. They were free. And it says they went out with boldness. They were good to go. Until they get to the Red Sea. And as they get to the Red Sea, they get afraid. They can't see through the darkness. They can't see through their life. And Moses delivers this. We have this passage right here, starting in verse 13. This is a very powerful passage, and I think it applies to us today. It says, and Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. You shall see again no more forever. That's what I want us to take away from tonight. It says, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Don't be afraid. Sometimes our fear can paralyze us into moving forward. Over and over again throughout the Bible, God says, don't be afraid. How many times have you been afraid in your life? think we've all had that fear at some point in time, but God says, don't be afraid. We see in Psalms, it says, I sought the Lord and He heard me and He delivered me from all my fears. They looked to Him and were radiant and their faces were not ashamed. God delivers us from our fears. Psalms 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. In 2 Timothy, we see, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God drives fears away. A couple weeks ago, we had a fun little scare at our house. I'm going to tell the story. Sorry, girls. Katie and Elizabeth, they were spending the night together. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, I guess one of them got up to go to the bathroom. We had a number 6 balloon in our living room from Adeline's 6th birthday party. And it's about this tall. It's blowed up. There's a car seat in front of it, so it's kind of wide. And along with this number 6, it kind of looks like a person. So at 3 o'clock in the morning, as one of the girls goes to the bathroom, they walk out and see this balloon in the darkness. And it moves. So I guess Katie went back and told Elizabeth. Well, Elizabeth's poked her head out and seen it. Next thing we know, we are sound asleep, and Elizabeth comes running, screaming, and jumping in the middle of our bed. Okay? If you've never had that happen before, you are afraid. I think I shot up, and I'm screaming just as well. What's happening? What? You know, you wake up, and you're scared. Somebody's in the house. Girls, stay here. And right as I'm going to get Katie, because she is still in Elizabeth's room, I bump into Katie. So she screams, I scream, we all scream. And there's no ice cream involved, but we're scared. So we get her, we got all the girls in our bedroom now. I go and search the house, only to find our intruder is a balloon. So I bring the balloon back to the bedroom, and I say, here's our intruder, and I kill the balloon. Killed the intruder. But fear paralyzes us. But God tells us, don't be afraid. That's what He tells Moses to tell these people. They are standing there at the Red Sea, and they're trapped between the Red Sea and Pharaoh and all his men, his 600 choice chariots. And it says, and all the chariots of Egypt. So not just 600 chariots, but probably a whole lot more. And their entire army. And they are sitting there, scared to death. Fear has paralyzed them. Even though they've seen God's power through every plague, they're scared. And Moses says, do not be afraid. We need to remember that God loves us and blesses us if we do His will. If you would, flip over to Ephesians chapter 1. Starting in verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise and the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption, through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in Him. In Him also we have attained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. You see, He blesses us because in verse 4 it says He chose us. In verses 6 and 7 it says He accepted us. because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. Not only that, He gave us grace, as it says in verse 7. And He made wisdom abound toward us in verse 8. But then, He gave us an inheritance, as it says in verse 11. Just like He did for the children of Israel, He chose them, He blessed them, and gave them an inheritance. But not only does He say, do not be afraid, He said, stand still. Mark had a great sermon right out a year ago about being still. He says, stand still. When you're scared, you have that fight or flight mode. And here, they are scared, and Moses tells them, don't be afraid, but stand still. Sometimes that's hard for us, isn't it? Because we are constantly on the go. This is a society on the move. And we are hard-pressed to stay still sometimes. The world moves quick, and we can get lost trying to keep up. But it says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I am God. In Psalm 62, verse 5, it says, for God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is in Him. Be still and know that He is God, and in Him we have all hope. Sometimes we find that peace is found when we're still. Through the hustle and the bustle of real life, we forget the peace that comes through God, unless we stand still. In Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 8, it says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. These things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. A lot of people will take time to meditate, to find calmness, to find peace. And we read in Philippians, meditate on these things that are pure, these things that are just, these things that are lovely. If it has any virtue, think on these things, and the God of peace will come to you. When we stand still, we can know that He is God, and that He gives us peace, and that He is going to bless us. But then, not only does He say, don't be afraid, stand still, but He says, see the salvation of the Lord. Now, I can just imagine that picture of the children of Israel. They have just went through these 10 plagues, seen the power of God, finally getting to leave from being slaves, because not only during all of this time, they were still slaves. They still had work to do. Pharaoh made their work even harder. Instead of giving them things to make it easier to make bricks, he takes that away from them and says, now you have to go and gather and still make the bricks. So through all this, they're still slaves. And right there after the death of the firstborn, they are told to leave. And then they take all their stuff with them. They said, get out of here and take your flocks and everything with you. And they left. And they go through the wilderness, and they are following a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. They have the power of God in front of them, and they are scared still, because they are standing there trapped between the Red Sea and all this army that they had just left behind, coming to take them back. And they're wondering, why didn't we just die? Was it because there was no graves left open in Egypt? Why did you bring us out here, Moses? Just to push us into the sea? But he says, don't be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You see, it's through being confident, through not being afraid, and standing still and having peace that we can see what God ultimately provides for us. And that is salvation. So many times we look at the world and we look for salvation in the very wrong things. Sometimes we look at what others have and we see that maybe we don't have that. We see other families doing well. Maybe our family is struggling. Maybe our marriages are struggling. Maybe our houses are struggling. Maybe our schools are struggling. But we look at what others have and what others are doing for salvation. But God says, no, look to me. Look at what I offer you, because I'm the only one that can offer you salvation. We look at the wrong thing, and we should be looking at the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus said not to put our hope in things of this world. So many times we put our trust and our hope in things here. And he says, don't do that. Put it on me. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2 says, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. 1 Timothy chapter 6 says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold of eternal life. He's saying, don't put your trust in things here, but put your trust on things up there. But in Matthew it says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on the earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You see, God knows where our heart is. In John chapter 2, at the very end of John chapter 2, he says, for Jesus knows the heart of all men. He says, think on these things, be still, and look to the salvation of the Lord, because he has already overcome. Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I tell you, I have spoken to you, that in you, in me you have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. He's already telling us, in me is peace, and the world is tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have already overcome the world. You see, we are living in difficult times. And it's only August. But we can have peace because God chose us. God has blessed us in many different things. But I think the key to all of this passage, after he says, do not be afraid, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you will see again no more forever. But he says, the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. The Lord will fight for us. He is going to provide for us, because he sent his Son to this earth to die on the cross for us. But in verse 15 he says, and the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. So many times we get stuck. We get stuck looking at what is going on in the world around us, and we can't see through that. We can't focus through that. But when we stop being afraid and we stand still to get the peace of God and we see His salvation, we can then move forward. Maybe, just maybe, there's somebody here that hadn't put Christ on. They haven't become a child of God. Maybe you need to do that tonight. Everything is ready. Everything is prepared. The baptistry is here, and we're here too. But it's not just open tonight. It's open any time, as long as the Lord lets us live. And I know me, myself, Mark, Jeffer, any of the elders, we'd be more than happy to do that at any point in time. But there's no better time than right now, because we're not promised anything after this point in time. Or maybe we've fallen away. Maybe we've let the world sink in and scare us to where we can't move. Maybe we need to stand still and know that God offers salvation. And once we see that, we can move forward. Maybe you need prayers. Maybe you need encouragement. If there's anything we can do for you, please come as we stand and as we sing.